All right. Good. Something special today. Amen. Let's go. I got a message to preach. Amen. Brother Collins. Amen. Brother Douglas. The men on the platform need to step down here, please. Sit on the front row. All right. Okay, listen up. Amen. You know, the last time Brother Collins spoke, he talked about his deer hunting story, right? Come on. And then he put me down. He says, I can't imagine Brother Froakie ever deer hunting, you know. Yeah, his age. And I said, well, I did. I lived in Pennsylvania, and I used to. I haven't been for a number of years. And so I just want to show you some of the things that I have done hunting. And so I'm glad Brother Collins is here this morning. And Brother Douglas. Brother Douglas is a big hunter. So let's show this number one here. Yeah. Fishing for likes, amen? Just getting started. Don't, Brother Douglas, hang on, Brother Collins. And number two. What do you think? Look at that animal, huh? What do you think, Brother Douglas? Good? Amen. All right. I'm just talking about, Brother Collins, you seeing that? All right, amen. Okay, good. All right. Number three. Yeah. Guns out. Amen. All right. Okay, all right. Good, amen. Just trying to tell you that I've been out in the woods, man. I've been out there. Amen. Next one. Yeah. Get on my level. Amen. All right. Get on my level. And, of course, the last one, what you do after a hunting game, what do you do? Resting after a long hunt. Right? Amen. All right. I just wanted to show you that, in other words, I'm an outdoorsman too, Brother Douglas, Brother Collins. I mean, right? Somebody say amen. All right. And then what's the next one? Oh, Hunter Froakie. Amen. Lights on. Amen. Here we go. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter number 4. The Gospel of John chapter number 4. That song, There Is a River, I asked Brother Collins if we could do that today. And if you notice, the second verse is talking about the woman at the well. And but John chapter 4 and verse 28. John chapter 4 and verse 28. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, it's good to have fun, and thank you for our college. What a privilege it is to be behind this pulpit. And thank you for the 5 years that my wife have been here. And I pray that we have helped and contribute. And Lord, this is a great place and a great bunch of students. We really do. We love these kids, and my wife and I, and it brings tears to our eyes sometimes as we watch them in the halls and the dining hall and just the sweetness. And I praise God that I can be a part of it in this time of my life. And so thank you for the guys that get me along and cheer me on, and the girls, and I just appreciate that, my wife. And just a pleasure being here today and being with you. It's a great place. Let's pray. And we pray these things in Jesus' name, of course. Amen. Let's pray. All right. Whatever. Amen. And I'm preaching tomorrow night in church, too. Amen. John, did I say John 4? Yeah. All right. Very good. All right. 5 times I said that. Amen. Now, here's the title of my message. Listen to me now. This is important. It's all important, right? Here's what it is. This is important. Is your life touching others for good or bad? Is your life touching others for good or bad? Now we see in John chapter 4 here that this Jesus touched the life of this woman at the well. He said to his, must needs go through Samaria. She was a Samaritan. The disciples didn't want to go. Do we need to go? Well, he says, I'll go to the grocery store, get some lunch meat, but I'm going over here by the well. And sure enough, a lady shows up. And boy, did she get a dose of salvation. And as the story unfolds here that she got saved, and the first thing she did is she went back into the city where she came from, the village where she was. And if you notice in verse 39, let's look at it, John chapter 4 and verse 39, it says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, that's Jesus, for the saying of what? Jesus touched her life, look at me, touched her life, and in turn, what happened was, she went out and touched many other lives. Somebody say amen. Amen. Really, that's what we need to do. That's what we're supposed to do, am I right or wrong? Doesn't matter if it's Saturday or Sunday or Tuesday or Thursday or whatever, our job is to touch other people's lives. And that's important. That is so important. Somebody touched your life. And we can learn. We are around people. And how do we touch people's lives? Number one, we can learn something from them. Be a good listener. I was at a nursing home a week ago Saturday. World War II vet involved in the Normandy invasion. He was there with his wife, was assistant living. And he told me a great story about the Normandy invasion. Full of shrapnel in his knee. An amazing story. Matter of fact, I don't know if Brother Vargo is here, maybe he's here later on in the week, but he took the Queen Mary from the United States back over to the over to Europe, riding the Queen Mary. Brother Vargo and had talked about that. But what an interesting man to talk to, 92 years old, 94 years old, I believe. And at the end of our conversation, he was a born again Christian, saved man, and he said, "Thank you so much for listening to me." And he hardly gets visitors, but a World War II vet. Number one, we can learn something from them, of others, of course, and be a good listener. Number two, we can bring joy into their life. You as young people, age has nothing to do with it, to be quite frank with you. There's a lot of people hurting out there, folks, and you know that. A lot of people on your bus routes, individuals, people at church, cancer, a lot of stuff going on. But we can bring joy into people's lives. And number three, they want to be like you. Let me give you this statement that I wrote down. Maybe because of you, their life is not the same. That's why it's important to make a difference. And take in your life to make a difference. How do you do that? You go. Now, very quickly, or are you the kind that spreads gloom, bringing people down? There are people like that. It's always a negative. It's never a positive or whatever. Maybe talking about certain things that they have done, or I this or I that or whatever. But what type of person are you? Are you the type of person that, and pastor's big on this, that you enjoy being around? I mean, they just kind of bring joy. They're always pumped up. They're excitable. I'm sure they have their times, but you'll never know it, that type of an individual. And boy, that's important. The story at the woman in the well, man, this is one lady that was pumped up. I mean, she got excited about her salvation. Come see a man that has told me everything about my life. And boy, she went into that village and she didn't hold back. She was bold. Now think about it. Brand new convert. Come see a man that has told me everything about me. The story at the woman. We look at 2 Kings chapter 5, the story of Naaman. Isn't it amazing, but we don't know the name of the woman at the well? She's just a lady, woman at the well. The story of Naaman. Mighty man of valor, but he was a leopard. But a little maid, we don't even know the maid's name, but came and told, come see this man, come see this prophet, Elisha. And what happened? Just a little maid, no name. Naaman was healed. Just that one person that touched the life of someone else. The feeding of the 5,000. There's a lad. There's another one. We don't know the name of that lad. Isn't it amazing how the Lord wrote this Bible and put all of these important people, but never gave them a name? They had a name, but didn't put it in Scripture. You know, it amazes me. I love it because Jesus uses the little people, the no names. people that will never write a book, but he uses people like that. Many stories are in the Bible of touching people's lives. I love this one, Barnabas. What a guy. As a pastor, boy, I wish I had a boatload of men like Barnabas. Amazing man, and how many lives that he touched. Never gave up on John Mark. Paul did, but Barnabas didn't. He said, I see something in that individual that we can salvage. And by the way, John Mark wrote the second book of the Bible, New Testament. And when Paul was in prison, ready to be headed in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, send John Mark, he's profitable to me. Aren't you glad that God doesn't give up on you? That Barnabas saw something in that individual. He says, you know something? That man can be used. I know he quit. I don't know why he quit the first missionary journey. But I'll take him. Paul, if you don't want him, I'll take him. And he used him. And so the title of my message is simply this. Is your life touching others for good or bad? You say, Brother Froehlke, how old do you have to be to touch the lives of others? I'll be right back. Do you think she's touched people's lives? Come on, somebody say amen. Isn't she beautiful? The mother of this little girl is Natalie. And Natalie is behind here. This is her daughter, Erin. They just came to our school. Rydell is her uncle, that's right. I don't know about you, but when my daughter Brooke was born in Pennsylvania, and we were older, we were both 39 years old, my wife and I, she touched our lives. Isn't that precious? So how old do you have to be to touch somebody's life? Just a baby can touch people's lives. Natalie, come out here. Come out here. You see this girl right here? Her mother and father went to Hiles Anderson College. Her mother got saved in my church. She rode our bus. She was our bus captain. I preached always Hiles Anderson College, and she ended up coming here. Her name was Charlene Weber at the time. She graduated, found Noel here, and now they're missionaries, tremendous missionaries down in Guyana. Rydell, of course, is their son. And Natalie, I remember when Natalie was born, and I told her in my office a little while ago, I held Natalie as a little baby. Didn't we, Connie? Just born, we went up to Lewisburg Hospital, and Charlene and Noel were up there and getting ready to go on deputation, and I held you in my arms. And now I'm holding her baby. Isn't God good? But someone touched the life of Charlene Weber in Pennsylvania years ago, and she got saved, and her sisters came to college here also. And then she touched other people's lives on that bus route that have since come to Hiles Anderson College. You see, that's the way it goes. Because that's your job, and my job is to touch other people's lives. That's our job. Isn't she sweet? Can I give her a kiss? Thank you. You'll have to walk down here. Can you walk down here? Okay, good. Give her a hand. I appreciate her coming. A nursing home. Boy, they just love to talk. The other Saturday, I was out at a nursing home, and I was telling Brother Scudder, walked into a room, or before I walked in the room, I saw the lady's name was Lois. And I walked in there, and I said, hi, Lois, how are you? And she looked up, and she said, well, who are you? And I said, I'm Steve Froehlke. I'm from First Baptist Church. Just want to come and talk to you, encourage people, and whatever. And my wife and I were working this certain home, and we don't do that normally every Saturday, but this Saturday we chose to. And I noticed that she was holding her handkerchief over her mouth and talking to me. And I said, do you have it? Oh, she said, sir, very sharp, sharp as a tack, 92 years old. And she said, I'm having a devil of a time getting my false teeth in my mouth. And I says, well, where are your teeth? She says, right here. And she's weak, and she's kind of weak. She fell. And so she couldn't get that squirting of that poly grip around her teeth. And I said, can I have your teeth and do it? So she gave me her false teeth, amen? You say, well, Brother Froakie, what did you do? Well, I just took the poly grip and went all the way around it. And I gave her their teeth back, and she put it in. Oh, she said, thank you so much. I said, you're a pretty lady. And you know what? She said, listen to me. She's 92 years old. She said this. Her name was Lois. She says, and I introduced myself, and she said, I pray every day that Jesus will take me home. I can't wait to go to heaven. That's exactly what she said, sweet lady. So they're there. How old do you have to be to touch other people's lives? It could be a new baby. It could be a baby. It could be people in the nursing home. I'll never forget, we were up at Geisinger Hospital. You don't want a place to go sometime to really have a wonderful time and just a fruitful time. Go to an IC unit, like we were a trauma center at Geisinger Hospital up in Pennsylvania. Go to the intensive care unit waiting room sometime. Bring your New Testament there. Bring some tracts there. Just sit there. Don't say a word to anybody. And open up your Bible. I'll guarantee you somebody will come by. Numerous times I did that. Brother Garraway showed me. He said, come, Brother Froakie, let's go to Geisinger. I'm going to show you something that I do sometimes. If I got time, I'll go to a hospital. Just open up your Bible in intensive care. There's family there. People are going to have surgery. Their relatives are going to have surgery. And I went there one time, and I had my Bible open, and I'll never forget it. Mr. Bain, I didn't know his name at the time. And he said to me, he says, are you a reverend? And I said, well, yes, I am. I said, I pastor a church. I'm a Baptist preacher. He said, my mother is laying in there. And she said, I'm looking for somebody. Please go in. Would you pray with her, sir? And I went in there, and she was coherent. And I led her to Christ. And in doing so, she passed away, and they called me. I didn't even know this family, but they called me and said, you're the one that went and prayed with my mother. Would you have our mother's funeral? And I said, sure, I'll have your mother's funeral. And through that all, two families joined our church just by being where people need, where you need to be, touching the lives of others. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, those are things that you can do. And just taking of your time. There's tons of people, whether it's Lewisburg Hospital, whether it's St. Mary's, where I had my open heart surgery, or whether it's St. Methodist Hospital, wherever it may be. There's people that are hurting that just need to talk to somebody. Would you pray for my mother? Would you pray for my father? It's touching the lives of other people. Isn't that what we're here for? Come on. Make your life count. I went up to a story that happened at the hospital one time. They called me and said, Pastor Froakie, would you go up and see so-and-so? Didn't know her from Adam, and went in there, intensive care unit. And lady was there, and good night. She was swollen up, and she had tubes coming in her body, all over her body, and big things wrapped around her legs and whatever. And I've always been taught, you know, the last thing that goes is the hearing. And so I was the only one in the room. The nurse had left, and I gave her the plan of salvation. You know, Romans 3:10, 3:23, drew the net. If Jesus Christ is willing to take you as you are right now, would you be asked Christ to come into her heart? And I left. I prayed, and I left. My wife can attest to this. Months later, lady visited. She was back of the auditorium after the, I didn't know who she was, back of the auditorium. And she came up to me after the service. She said, are you Pastor Froakie? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you know, I remember when you came to my room, I was in intensive care, and I remembered every word you said to me in my condition. And I want you to know that I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. I had no idea. Can I say something? That baby Jesus touched the whole world and is still doing it. It's not the age, it's doing the best you can with what God has given you and using it to teach others. So my question this morning on the 16th day of January 2018, what would this world be without you? What are you doing? Are you taking your life and making it count for others? Well, I know others have been preached around here. You'll hear a lot more messages all through the rest of this semester. But I'm talking about our lives. I'm talking about the faculty and staff. I'm talking about my life. I want to make my life count. You know, Brother Scott gave me an analogy years ago. when he hired me in 2012. He said, you're certain age and your church is doing well. We built the church. Dr. Hiles dedicated our building, whatever. But I felt that I turned the ministry over to a younger man. He said, you can come out here and invest your life in young people. Students at Hiles Anderson College, you've got some miles on you. And he said, I think you could be an asset to this college. Come on out here. And I praise God I did. And my wife and I, and that's what I want to do, is I want to take what's left of this life in my life and invest it in your life and to try to make a difference in somebody's life. What would this world be without you? What are you doing with your life? Are you making a difference on your bus route? Are you making a difference? What can I do? I was at the funeral for Linda Reckledge on Friday. What a testimony. Testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony. Why? She touched people's lives with her life. What a testimony. I don't know if Frank's here today, but what a testimony. Touching people's lives. How many were at that funeral? Not many, or my wife was, but amazing, amazing. Something you can say or do could cause a life to change. Are you listening to me? Something that you say and do could cause a life to change. I'll never forget years ago, I was in my office, and a man came in to the office and had a gray beard, a white-colored beard, a distinguished-looking gentleman. And he came in and he introduced himself, who he was. And he said, there's a lot of names for God. And boy, he was waxing eloquent. Elohim, El Shaddai. And he was going on. And where to use this in Scripture and where to use this in Scripture. I had an idea. And he just kept going on and on and on. I don't know if he was trying to impress me or whatever. But this dear, sweet old little lady, raise your hand, Mrs. Crokey. She's in the office across from my office. And she's hearing all this. A guy that just keeps going on, brother, just kept going on. Waxing eloquent, right? So my wife, sweet, mild, tender, whatever, she comes across to my office and she says to this gentleman, she said, sir, yes. She said, when is the last time that you took your Bible and opened it and led someone to Jesus Christ? Oh, glory to God. And he said, Brother Collins, it's a gift. Ooh, then I got up. And I said, a what? A gift? I said, it's not a gift, it's a command. Somebody say amen. And you got people out there calling that if you go soul winning, I just don't go soul winning because I don't have the personality. I can't do it. Let me tell you something. It's a command. You said, what happened to the man? He just left. But boy, he had all the names of God down. But the problem is he's keeping it to himself. Is your life touching other lives? Matthew 28, I said, sir, it says, go ye into all the world. Mark chapter 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the what? Acts 8:31, what happened there? Philip and the eunuch, he said, let some man guide me and show me. And the Bible says at the end that he got through baptizing him, and guess what? They both went and went rejoicing. I don't know about you, but when I win people to Christ after all of these years, I still get pumped up and excited when they pray and ask Jesus to come into their heart. Do you still get excited about that? Come on. You get excited about first-time riders on your bus. Don't lose it. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came in to seek and to save which was lost. Acts 26:18 says, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness unto light. That's our job. What are you doing with your life? Is your life touching others? Isaiah 61:1, preach the good tidings unto the meek and bind up the brokenhearted. In Luke chapter 14, he had all the excuses in the world. Sell the ground, the oxen. I got married. Well, that could be legitimate, but no, I'm just kidding. But the Bible says that God got angry. And he said, go out in the streets and the lanes and highways and byways and hither the poor to come in. The maimed and the blind. You ought to see my class, my TNT class at 5 o'clock. I got everything. Brother Wilkerson loves my class. He said, Froki, he said, Pastor, Brother Froki, he says, man, you got everything in that class. I said, I love it, man. I got Carolyn Reynolds cooking food at night. I got PJ, who just got hired on the staff, leads my music. I got Mrs. Castellano playing my piano. We have a great time in there. We have a great time. We go into Chicago and work. Sometimes we'll go on a bus route and go to see them. And sometimes it's difficult, you know, and you only can make two or three calls because then they live far apart or whatever the case may be. Oh, Brother Froggy's coming. His wife is coming this Sunday, Saturday to see me. So whatever I have left, whatever God gives me, I want to keep on touching the lives of other people and take my life. Is your life touching others? Come on. I know it's just another message. It never gets old. Is your life touching others? Is it a gift? No, it's a command. What age do you have to be to start touching other lives? We saw the little baby touching lives. And you can take your life as busy as you are. And we know how busy you are. But doesn't it refreshing on a Saturday to go out and talk to people and tell them the good news that Jesus loves them? Boy, I could go on and on and on talking about the lives that people have I've touched personally, or my wife. The fruit. Charlene is one of them, their mother. Thank God for her. Charlene was on our bus route one time and she led a young lady to Christ, and her husband had left her two boys. Went over to there in Sunbury and led her to Christ. She started coming to church. This lady, name was Robin. And through it all, Robin got saved, came to the church, and she started working on the bus route. And on and on and on it goes. And you got stories just like I got stories. But I never want to forget what it's really all about. I got one life to live, and so do you. One life to live. What are you doing with that life? I've asked Miss Adrie to play a song that she wasn't familiar with, but she's going to do this invitation. You do what you have to do. But this song is, I have never lost the wonder of it all. Listen to me now. This evangelist was Gypsy Smith. D.L. Moody went to England. He said, where are the gypsies? He says, they're over in the gypsy camp. We don't allow them to come because they're pickpockets. D.L. Moody got on his buckboard and the horse, and who was with him? Do you know the story? I love that guy. Anyway, who played for D.L. Moody? Was it Roadheaver? Homer? Was it? Okay. Anyway, they went out there, and a young man came up to the buckboard, and he wanted D.L. Moody's blessings, and he put his hands on his head, and he said, someday you're going to be a preacher. And his name was Gypsy Smith. He came to the United States, and Vance Havner ran into him. This is years ago, ran into to Gypsy Smith. He was 80 years old, and he said to him, he said, Gypsy, now I'm talking to young people. Listen to this. He was 80 years of age, got saved as a young boy. D.L. Moody put his hands on him and prayed for him. Years later, he comes to the United States. Vance Havner runs into him, went to hear him preach as 80 years of age. He went up to him and he says, Gypsy, he said, I've never heard you better. You're 80 years old. What's the difference? What is it? And this is what he said to him. He said to Mr. Havner, he says, I've never lost the wonder of it all. I don't ever want to lose it. What Jesus has done for me and what he's done for you. He's brought you here to get your schooling, to find hopefully a mate. But guess what? While you're doing that and while you're working the 40 hours a week and while you're doing all of those things, don't forget the purpose is to take your life and to touch other people's lives, to make a difference. Shall we stand?